This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's now 7:36 a.m. on the morning run. Time now to look at a U.S. market. So you've got the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones falling by 1.5% overnight, whereas the Nasdaq fell by 2.2%. All this coming after the U.S. Fed hiked U.S. interest rates for the fourth time this year. That happened earlier this morning, as widely expected. On the line now, we have Jeff Howie, market strategist with the Singapore Exchange. Good morning, Jeff. Now, obviously, sights now are turned, trained on 2019. You know, the Fed Chair Jerome Powell appears to be on a more cautionary path. Do you think, in your view, is there more clarity now as to how the Fed will move next year?
Good morning, Han. Yes, there's definitely more clarity. And the dot plot showed there were two rate hikes expected for 2019 rather than the previously expected three rate hikes. And the wording in the statement also was firmer, particularly when it came to those rate hike expectations. There was also... There was a little bit less clarity for the market going into this meeting. There were expectations of what was once going to be this certain fourth rate hike, which we did see. It did begin, those expectations did begin to peel back somewhat in recent weeks, and hence the immediate reaction to the announcement did see those moves you just mentioned. You know, that was 5 hours or so ago. Not just the equity sliding, we did see the US dollar index immediately gain around 0.5%. To back above the 97 level. U.S. Treasuries firm 10-year yields came back to around 2.75%, and as you noted, equities were lower by a percent or so. So there was a little bit, a little bit less clarity going into this one. But if you look in the statement going forward, there is firmer language there.
Jeff, you're saying that there's firmer language and there's more clarity when it comes to the U.S. monetary outlook. How would this affect fund flows for Asian markets next year?
Well, Joyce, firstly, the market would be expecting to receive this more certainty, okay, on the U.S. monetary outlook. So that's a good thing. And there's a couple of key reasons for that. We did see a pretty big bout of recent uncertainty, and it did impact flows, particularly through the bonds and the bond yields and the impact that has on our emerging markets across Asia. You did see U.S. bond yields make an intra-year high around 3.3%, and that's basically due to Fed uncertainty. Remember, you might recall back on 3rd of October, the Fed chair noted on a TV program that the Fed was probably a long way from neutral rates. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of November, the Fed chair stated that the FOMC rate was close to neutral. So those bond yields have moved back significantly from that those 3.3% highs. And as we noted, they're now back around 2.75%. And a few hours back, the Fed chair was again very specific in stating that those rates were right now at the lower end of neutral. So that clarity will help. And also, there's another dimension of the clarity. As of January, the end of January next year, all FOMC meetings will be accompanied with press conferences rather than just the quarterly ones. On the flows, if there's certainty or even just there's still uncertainty of sharper than expected tightening of financial conditions, which could be the rates or could be the balance sheets, what we've seen in the past is it obviously brings about US dollar appreciation. That impacts asset flows. It impacts corporate outlooks. It impacts ultimately economic growth. Hence, simply put, if the Fed does become more hawkish, we'd expect adverse impacts on the flows here. And of course, vice versa, if the Fed is seen to be more dovish.
Jeff, now that we have more clarity on the Fed front, what about another global macro risk? That's China. Do we have more clarity on that front? I want to get your thoughts on President Xi Jinping's speech earlier this week. Look, markets were left disappointed when he didn't offer any new initiatives on economic reforms. I think the question is, you know, moving forward into 2019, can we still continue to rely on China to prop up global growth in the medium term, given the absence of new economic reform initiatives?
Yeah, well, we have to set our expectations right, obviously. The speech, I don't think it was ever going to be about a platform for economic stimulus or propping up global growth. The speech was always going to be focused on the accomplishments of the state government in serving the 1.4 billion people of China. There has been recent building of expectations of more of these strategic, proactive fiscal measures or potential further reductions to reserve ratio requirements. You look at the market this year, the global market, unfortunately, the China stock market has been the least performer in the year to date. And if you look at any time period, whether it's year to date, it's 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, all the China small cap stocks have very, very much been laggards of the bigger China large cap indices. And that's particularly in the short to medium term time frame, the 3 to 5 year period. And if you look at policy initiatives now, they currently involve increasing a lot of assistance to these non-state-owned businesses, that are termed small and micro businesses, SMBs. And it's an ongoing priority for China. The PBC monetary policy reports have been highlighting all these combined step-ups to the implementation of SMB policies, further improving quality, efficiency, of the financial services, in addition to reducing the costs of financial services to SMBs. And this is really important because it's generally recognised that this segment of the Chinese market, the Chinese economy, I should say, the smaller micro businesses, they're going to provide around 4/5 or 80% of the jobs in China's cities, and hence that segment's going to be really crucial for the reform agenda, as well as that ongoing transformation from the high quantity growth to the high quality growth.
Well, Jeff, we've spoken about the Fed, China's growth prospects, all the major risks for Asian economies. How will that feed into your outlook for the Singaporean stock market?
Okay, looking into an outlook, Joyce, we have a handful of sessions left for the year, obviously, and we've seen the STI here give back just under a third of its really strong 2017 gains. On average, the three banks have given back around 1/10 of their big 2017 gains this year, yet they have still been the recipient of net institutional inflows of more than $250 million. The economic uncertainty, it has delivered more swings to the STI constituents, and I think that volatility has generated more swings to many of the constituents across the big benchmarks of the region, and that in essence is really providing more shorter term opportunities for the active investors, which is compared to those previous years' opportunities for passive investors. For instance, if we just look at what we saw in 2017, we have a large China-based shipbuilder here. It was the best performing stock in 2017, returns above 80%. Then with 1 week to go here this year, it's given back around 1/5 of those gains in the year thus far. But moreover, the stock has been generating the biggest average daily trading ranges of our STI stocks. So that stock's been swinging around on average 3% between its high and the low each day. So if US in essence is providing more opportunities for active managers in the latter end of 2018, which is expected to extend into 2019, that these opportunities are more prevalent for the more active portfolio managers rather than the passive portfolio managers.
All right, so it looks like active is going to be the name of the game going into 2019 as opposed to passive. Got it. Thank you so much. That was Jeff Howie, market strategist with the Singapore Exchange. Stay tuned because coming up, we'll take a look at some of the top business stories and we'll take a look at some of the latest returns from the EPF. They announced their third quarter income. We'll dive into those numbers after this. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.